Ever stood in the grocery aisle staring at 15 kinds of cooking oil, wondering which is the healthiest? You've got, let's see, you got peanut oil, sunflower, safflower, and vegetable oil. What kind of vegetable is that anyway? Or you got olive oil. Heard good things about that, right? But the pure olive oil or the extra virgin oil or the, how about pumice oil? Does it make a difference? Chemical processing versus mechanical processing. Polyunsaturated or monounsaturated. Trans fats, oh-la-la. So much to choose from. Are you feeling overwhelmed? Well, give us a call on number 844-724-8255, 844-SciTalk. You can tweet us at SciFi. We're going to talk all about oils. And to help us sort through the oily options, we've got Tom Brenner, professor of human nutrition at Cornell. He's also a scientific advisor for the Fats of Life newsletter. Welcome, Dr. Brenner.
Thanks very much, Ira.
Give us just the fats, man, just the fats. What is cooking oil? What's it made of?
Cooking oil is a complex mixture primarily made of, what we call fatty acids. They're really esterified to glycerol, so they're triglycerides. We've heard of those as molecules in the blood, but they start out in oils. And we talk about fatty acids as long chains of carbon that are saturated with hydrogen. If we pluck out two hydrogens, we have a single double bond. That's a monounsaturate. More than one double bond is a polyunsaturate.
So why do we make all these different kinds? The monounsaturate, the poly, plucking out the bonds?
They have different biophysical properties and different biological properties in plants, which is where we get most of these oils from, but also in humans and in animals. So they have various properties. The saturated fats have high melting points. The unsaturated fats have lower melting points. And so an unsaturated fat we call oil. That's a special name for a liquid fat.
Mm-hmm. So how do omega-3, omega-6... And now I've heard about omega-9. How do they all fit in there?
Right. Well, omega-3 and omega-6 are the ones that have to be made by plants, and we can't make the basic molecule. The omega-9s we can make, although plants make lots of those. Omega-3 and omega-6 are very bioactive. Omega-3s we've all heard of with respect to the heart, but they are very important for the brain. The brain is full of omega-3. The retina is full of omega-3. That's the eye. Omega-6s are used for lots of different signaling properties. If you've ever taken aspirin or other kinds of anti-inflammatories, those drugs inhibit the metabolic processes connected to, well, both omega-6 and omega-3, but they're intended mostly for omega-6. And omega-9s are thought of as very neutral fats, and they have, less strong properties metabolically.
Mm-hmm. Our phone number, 844-724-8255, 844-SciTalk, if you'd like to talk about all these vegetable oils. Or you can also tweet us at SciFry, SCIFRI. Can you actually tell how much of each omega type there is from the nutrition label that's on the bottle?
Some of them you can and some of them you can't. There are some where the omegas are labeled, but there's a bit of a code. The ones that say monounsaturates, so most of them will say monounsaturates, those are mostly omega-9. The ones that say polyunsaturate, at least in vegetable oils, those are mostly omega-6. That's not the case with canola and mostly canola, maybe a little for flax, but that's mostly omega-6. So you can get an idea if you know what you're looking for.
Mm. So how do you tell them all apart? I mean, when you're shopping, should you aim for one and not the other?
Right. Well, they all have their roles, and it's not just the unsaturated versus polyunsaturated, but it's also a little bit the way that the oils have been processed. The more processed, more refined oils, refined is probably a better word, will be a little bit more suitable for high temperature applications like frying, whereas the very virgin oils tend to be better as salad oils or put onto a hot dish prior to serving.
Mm-hmm. Are all olive oils created equal? I know there are, as you say, different kinds.
They're not created equal. Well, let's see. Standing in a supermarket, they're not created equal. They come from lots of different oils originally, and they will be extracted in a couple of different ways. One will be mechanically by simply pressing them. Olives are fruits, and so olive oil is a fruit oil as opposed to many of the other oils we talk about, like soybean, which is a seed oil. Olive oils.
Let me stop you there, Professor, because we're going to take a break. I don't want you to get into this interesting rap, and then we have to break away talking about the different kinds of olive oils. This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking about cooking oil and whether some types are healthier than others with my guest Tom Brenna, professor of human nutrition at Cornell University. When I interrupted you, Professor, you were talking about the different kinds of olive oils. We know some are first press, second press, third press, right?
Yes, that's right. So there's a first pressings that extract oil, and then from the residue, oil will be extracted using solvents, and then that oil will be refined. So those are two different sorts of oils, olive oils that distinguish between virgin and extra virgin olive oils, which are the pressed ones and the refined ones.
You know, coconut oil got a bad rap in the past, but now it's touted as at health food sites. What's going on here?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, I've been around this this fat world for quite some time, and way back 30 years ago, people used to use the refined coconut oil that came into the United States as a diet to increase the cholesterol levels in their experimental animals, just because it did it very reliably. But what seems to be the case now is that was not due to the saturated fats. It was probably due to the methods of refining that were used, because we have virgin coconut oils now that do not have these properties. They have identical fatty acid profiles, that is, fatty acid compositions, but they have very different effects on cholesterol. So there's more going on than just the fats.
Is it possible to engineer all these oils, like to make the profile, let's say, of sunflower oil, basically like olive oil? We all love olive oil. We think it's healthy. Can you make all these other oils, bring them home, and make...
That's a great question, Ira. The fact is that there's a quiet revolution going on right now as industry is shifting the composition of oils from the traditional compositions to very different ones, which are for particular applications. So that is, it is true that perhaps up to 10 years ago, sunflower oil had a certain composition. It was very, very rich in omega-6 fatty acid, but it has transitioned now so that the vast majority of it in the U.S. has a very similar composition to olive oil.
Wow.
And that has very nice properties for some applications.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Bodega, California. Hi, Betsy. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, Ira. Thank you. I'm happy to have the opportunity to ask my question. I have a sister-in-law and natural foodie-type neighbors who tell me that the expeller-pressed canola oil that I use primarily for sautéing is really dangerous, that it was developed, you know, from the rapeseed for industrial purposes, and that I really shouldn't use it. And I wonder if that's true.
Well, canola oil was developed from rapeseed. It was bred by plant breeders to reduce the level of a certain fatty acid that was thought to be less healthy. There, to my knowledge, is no strong evidence in humans that there is a very negative effect from canola oil. In fact, the scientist who came up with and gave us the omega-3, omega-6 notation, nomenclature, ate canola oil every day for lunch and lived to be about 90, I don't know, two or three.
Canola is not real. There's no canola bean, is there?
No, there isn't. The Canadians adapted rapeseed, but they didn't want to put the label on an oil that would be the real name, which was low erucic acid rapeseed oil. That wouldn't have sold well next to next to corn oil. So they named it after themselves. They called it Canada Oil Low Acid Canola.
Wow. Well, where do you stand on butter and those kinds of oils?
Well, I don't think butter is so bad. I think it got a bad rap. Myself, butter is not just sort of bad old saturated fat. It has a lot of shorter chain fats, which are used in various processes, including for the brain. And so I think it's really in a rehabilitation phase these days.
Let's go to the phones to Lauren in Maryland. Hi, Lauren.
Hi. How are you, Aaron?
Fine. Go ahead.
So I have a question. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about if different oils are better for different cooking methods or temperatures, if you know anything or have any information about that, about, like, the burn points and how they react in the body differently at different temperatures.
Yeah, what's the smoke point we keep hearing about?
Well, the smoke point has something to do with the total amount of what we call free fatty acids in the oil. So we get free fatty acids in very unrefined oils, and a sort of mild kind of refining can be used to remove them. And once they're removed, then the smoke point gets very high. Those are molecules that evaporate and, you could say, pyrolyze. So they make smoke particles in the surface region right above the oil, and so you see smoke. Well, if you can remove those molecules, then you don't see that. So that's one of the important steps in the refining process.
Mm-hmm. And so which oils are good then for heating, hot?
Right. So it would have to be right. So, in principle, any oil could go through that process. But in practice, oils like peanut oil and soybean oil are refined so that they perform well in those kinds of applications, in frying applications, and also in high temperature, let's say, baking applications, which is less important for smoke points, but still important.
Do you like refined oils?
Most oils have to be refined in order to eat them at all. So it's not like we could get away from it completely or even mostly. But I think the right kind of refining I like, and so there's really some really awful kinds of refining that I don't like. How's that?
I won't ask you what they are. Should I?
No.
Oh, come on. Give us a hint.
Well, some kinds of refining heat the oils to very high temperatures for very long times in order to drive off the flavor and the aroma, in order to make a nice fat that has no flavor for let's say, shortening purposes. But that seems to change the chemical composition of the oil in ways that are probably not so good and that we're only kind of really working out now. So I tend to stay with oils that have flavor.
Mm-hmm. No, that's like extra virgin olive oil. But I've heard that extra virgin, and I found this from cooking myself, is not a good oil to fry with because it has all those little particles, those molecules in it, because it's not been refined very much. Those cause the smoke.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that's why if you're going to use extra virgin olive oil in a hot dish, you should have it on the table and put it on just before you eat. So you put your pasta on the table, it's hot and steaming, and you drop some oil on it right there. Mm-hmm. Also, some of these flavor compounds that are in extra virgin olive oil are affected in bad ways when you heat them to high temperatures in a frying pan, and they can get a bitter flavor to them.
Yeah, use it on your salads. Give us the last word on this, Tom. If you had to pick the healthiest oils, what would your top picks be? Give me a rundown.
Extra virgin olive oil is my favorite. I even have a few favorite trees over in Tuscany that make me happy.
Wait! I got to stop. You have the tree. You have it narrowed down to the tree that you. You
sure.
Do you
course.
Go over there and get it yourself?
Of course I do.
Okay, I bought it. I bought it. I bit. Go ahead.
Very good. Good job. I think you stick with oils that have a lot of flavor to them. Lots of oils can fit that bill. I think probably virgin coconut oil is probably good stuff, particularly for vegetarians. Moderation in all things.
Peanut oil,
particularly for high temperature applications. Yes, for high temperature frying, you want to stir fry something, use some peanut oil. It performs very, very well, and it's made for that purpose.
And don't be afraid of the butter for baking.
Don't be afraid of butter. Don't be afraid of butter. And again, everything, moderation in all things.
Well, that's a good moderation in our segment. Thank you, Tom. We have to leave you now. This was very informative. Tom Brenner, professor of human nutrition at Cornell University. I think we have some tips for taking home this weekend. Thanks for joining us today.
Happy Cy frying.